Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
Season 6, Episode 7 of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we are talking about the Larry Scott years, 1965 and 1966, Mr. Olympia. And our guest today is a real old school bodybuilder. His name is Vic Downs. And Vic was from Canada, and he competed in the early stages of the IFBB. He was in the, I believe, the 1966 Mr. World contest that Sergio Oliva won. And that year, he went over to NABBA and competed in the NABBA Mr. Universe. And Chet Yorton won that year, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was second at 19 years old. And Vic Downs was in third place, so he was right behind Arnold. So he had quite a few years competing in the IFBB and NABBA. And I believe he also went over to Dan Lorry's organization. So Vic is now 89 years old, and we talked to him at his home in Canada. And he had some interesting stories to tell about the old days of bodybuilding. So that's going to be a really, really good interview. All right, I want to mention that we are brought to you by Redcon One. At Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. Their premier clinically dosed pre-workout called Total War is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then after your workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs. And the carb sources are coming from sweet potatoes and oats. And it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And be sure to also check out their new MRE bars, which are in many, many different flavors. Aaron Singerman is constantly updating Facebook with all the new flavors they have. So when you go there, enter the discount code LEGENDS, and you will get 15% discount off your order, and they will know that you are listening to their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And we're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements to the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand I used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe contest in 2012. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion, and he's also the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. And they are also sponsoring Samir Benoot, 1983 Mr. Olympia, and the great Tom Platz, the legendary Tom Platz. They just signed on with him a few weeks ago. So all these guys are with Old School Labs. So when you go there, use the discount code LEGENDS12, and you will get a 12% discount off your order. And be sure to check out their Brawn Protein. This is a protein made with whole food protein sources such as eggs, milk, and beef. I use that every day. I love it. So go to oldschoollabs.com and put in the discount code LEGENDS12, and you will get 12% off your order. All right, we are doing the show a little bit earlier this week. We usually have the show on at the early part of the week. We just had a show on a few days ago, so now we're doing another show. And the reason for that is I'm heading out of town for a week. I'm going out to Los Angeles, courtesy of Old School Labs. They are sending me out there. They have the big Muscle Beach show on the beach next week on Monday, Memorial Day. They do that every summer. Joe Wheatley is the promoter, and Joe does a show on the beach on Memorial Day, Labor Day, and also the 4th of July. So the three summer holidays. And every time he does a show, he also inducts someone from the old school bodybuilding era into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame. And they have their plaques right there along Muscle Beach. So it's really, really cool. And I guess I just got something on Facebook yesterday where Joe said they restored all the plaques. So they've been doing this now for, I think, about 15 years. When we talked to Don Howarth last week, he said that he was the very first one to get it, I think, in 2003. They just restored all the plaques, so I'm going to check that out when I go out there on Monday. But Old School Labs is going to have me doing interviews at Gold's Gym next Tuesday, I think from 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock. So I'm going to see who I can interview there. I'm going to try and get some of the old school guys. And then I'm also supposed to do an interview with Tom Platz and also Samir. So this won't be like the long 2 hour interviews that we do on my website, but I will be doing a short interview with those guys. And hopefully I can talk them into finally sitting down with me on Skype and doing our interview. Samir, we still have to do part two because we did part one about 3 years ago and we never finished up. So we never talked about his Mr. Olympia win in 1983. And we never talked about his Mr. Olympia appearance in 1982 when he was in fantastic condition. So I want to sit down and talk to Samir, and I want to talk to Tom also. So hopefully when I talk to these guys in person, I can convince them to do the interview. Also hoping to meet up with Robbie Robinson. And actually today is Robbie's birthday. So happy birthday, Robbie. Today is, he is 72 years old and he is still looking fabulous. So happy birthday to Robbie Robinson, one of the true legends of the sport. He inspired so many bodybuilders like Lee Haney and Dorian Yates and Phil Williams, who's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame next Monday also, and inspired so many bodybuilders to get into bodybuilding because of his physique. And he's still training hard at Gold's Gym all the time. I see him train with Mike O'Hearn all the time. And he just did a guest posing recently with Mike. So Robbie looks just absolutely amazing. What an incredible bodybuilder. One of the best bodybuilders ever, in my opinion. So happy birthday to Robbie. So hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to Robbie. He's kind of shy and doesn't trust a lot of people. So hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him while I'm out there. And I'm also going to talk to, of course, Phil Williams, and we'll be interviewing him on Monday when he gets inducted into the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame. I know he's really excited about that. And I'm hoping to maybe catch a workout too with Phil. That would really be an honor to me because I always looked up to him when I was bodybuilding when I was younger. So it'd be cool to train with one of my idols. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be gone for about a week. I'm leaving tomorrow and not coming back till late next week. And then I head off to New Jersey to do the seminar for the AAAI organization that I was just recently in Colorado for. So I'll be going out there again to New Jersey, this time at the New Jersey Convention Center. And I believe that'll be like the June 1st weekend. So that'll be next weekend. So I'm looking forward to that also. So I got a busy couple of weeks. So we are doing the show early today because of that. And I also do want to say happy birthday to my brother, Don. Yesterday was his birthday. He's a year younger than me. And my brother, of course, those of you who know me, who read my articles, who have read my book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder, you know that my brother was really instrumental in my career. When I first started bodybuilding, he was a great brother. He was always there for me, trying to pump me up, making me believe I had the potential to be a bodybuilder. And all the shows we went to, he went with me to every single teenage show. I competed in 10 teenage contests when I was younger. And he was there taking pictures, putting the tanning stuff on, because back in those days, they didn't have spray tans. They didn't have a sponsor who would do the spray tan for you. Everybody was responsible for their own tan. So my brother was the one who was stuck with 3 days before the contest. Of every contest I went in, he had to put the Dioderm on the sponge and like paint me basically for 3 days straight. What a job. So I got to give thanks to my brother. I'll always remember all the love and support he gave me when I was competing. So wanted to wish him a happy birthday. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, the hockey playoffs. Tampa Bay was on the verge of making the actual Stanley Cup, and they lost in Game 7 yesterday, so they are out. But my producer, Paul, he is supporting Las Vegas, and they got the Golden Knights, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, very first year as a professional hockey team, and they made it to the Stanley Cup, so that's amazing. And they'll be playing the Washington Capitals. So Tampa Bay came close, but they didn't quite make it, so too bad for them, but Paul will be cheering for the hockey team from Las Vegas. Let's see. I've been trying to talk to Rick Wayne still, and I haven't heard back from him. So I should see John Balik this weekend when I'm out in L.A. because I think he's going to the Muscle Beach Hall of Fame. So hopefully I can convince John to call Rick again and try and get him to do an interview with me. I did hear from Chris Dickerson recently. He is on Messenger now on Facebook. So I asked Chris if he would like to come to the podcast, even though we did a long interview with him for my Bodybuilding Legends Show website, which we covered his whole career. Maybe we can have him back on the podcast just to talk about more about his Mr. America win and all his NABBA Mr. Universe victories, as well as his long career in the IFBB. Chris would always be he's always a gentleman bodybuilder, I call him. Very well spoken, very articulate. So I'd love to have him on the podcast again. And he said he was all for it. So hopefully we can talk to him soon. And then we still got the Porter Cottrell interview. So we'll probably put that one up next week, because I don't think we have any more interviews for this season of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast in season six, where we're talking about the Larry Scott years from 1965 and 1966. But I did get some emails from you guys, so I do want to read some of these emails. A lot of them were about the YouTube video I put up from the Boyer Co. interview we did, and that was from season five, episode three, where we were talking about the NABBA Mr. Universe, and I put that up on YouTube. And so in addition to listening to it as a podcast, you can also watch it. And I added a lot of pictures. As Boyer was talking about certain things in the interview, I added pictures from that era that he was talking about. So I got a message on YouTube from Guy Graham, and he says, it was a great interview with great photos. Boyer is a true gentleman and thoughtful of Sergio's gravestone. Because Boyer talked about when Sergio died, he was offering to pay for Sergio's gravestone because he heard that they didn't have the money to even give him a gravestone. And he said, John, this series is awesome, and Boyer is a very interesting interview. And I agree, Boyer is always one of my favorite interviews. This comment, also from YouTube, also about the Boyer Co. interview, it was from, his name is Two Stroke, and he says, any plans to have Frank Zane on the show? I'd love to hear his thoughts on the 1980 Olympia, as well as his whole bodybuilding career. Yes, I would love to have Frank Zane. I will continue trying to reach out to Frank. I know he is on Facebook, and he just released a new book that really looks great. It talks about his whole career, so I actually want to buy that book. So yes, I will continue trying to reach out to Frank, and I might be going out to California again this summer. So if I do, maybe I could do it in person if he would agree to that. So I'll let you guys know. I'll keep you updated on that. I also tried to reach out to Lou Ferrigno because I know Lou doesn't want to do interviews by Skype. So he said, if you're ever in California, and I let him know that I will be out in California this weekend, but he said he's going to be with Trump at the White House because I guess he's on Trump's physical fitness council, I think. So they used to just have one person as the head of that, but now I think they've got a few people working on the physical fitness, president's physical fitness is what it's called. So I think Dr. Robert Goldman is also a part of that. So anyways, I guess they must be having a meeting this weekend, and Lou will be at the White House this weekend. So he wasn't going to be around in California, unfortunately, so I won't get to talk to him yet. Guy Graham also wrote another comment on YouTube. He said, John, you don't need a million hits from teenage boys who are fascinated with synthol arms and what car some idiots are driving. These Bodybuilding Legends interviews are documenting the remaining people from a period in the sport that is quickly losing the people of that era to age. That's true. He says, you have interesting insights from the people that were there at the time, and the true historians will find these. Yes, it would be nice for more views because of putting in your time, but it's a niche viewer who appreciates this, and over time I've noticed the interviews are getting seen more. It is a legacy, John. Kudos to you. So Guy, of course, was talking about how some of the Bodybuilding Legends interviews don't get the number of views that some of these other things on YouTube do, but that's what he was saying. I agree with him. And he also says, John, I guess the blonde bomber, Dave Draper, is a very private person. He would be a fantastic interview. Yeah, I tried to reach out to Dave, but his wife, Larise, said he's not interested. And he says, P.S., have you seen the Weider movie yet? No, I haven't. That's the Weider movie. It's called Bigger. That is the biopic about Joe Weider and Ben Weider. And I believe it's coming out at the end of the year. Dan Solomon, my friend, is the co-producer. And for those of you that listen to the podcast, you know I went out there to Birmingham, Alabama last fall when they were filming the scene from the 1970 Mr. Olympia where Arnold beat Sergio for the first time. And Callum Van Moger was playing Arnold, and Sergio Jr. was playing his father, Sergio. So that was cool. So, yeah, I think the movie is finished, and I know they just had it at the Cannes Film Festival, one of the biggest film festivals in the world, of course, in Cannes, France. And they just had it there. I guess they're just trying to get distributors for the movie, and I think it's planning on coming out in the fall or later in the year. So I'll keep you guys updated on that when I know more about that. And then I also heard from my friend Bill Nealon, and he said he just finished listening to the Don Howarth interview. He says, I really enjoyed it because he was so candid, especially about Vince Guaranda. He confirmed a lot of what I already heard. Howarth is a very interesting guy. All right. Thank you, Bill. And hopefully I get to see Don Howarth, too, because I know he lives in California, and he sometimes goes to that Muscle Beach Hall of Fame. So hopefully I'll get to see him when he's out there. All right, I also do want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They have a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing they're there for you every step of the way. They have very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call for more information and experience firsthand what sets them apart from the rest. So their office is out here in Tampa, Florida, but they will talk to anybody in the United States, the continental United States. So just call them at their office, which is 813-922-8939. Again, that's 813-922-8939. Or you can go to their website at flalternativemeds.com, Florida, flalternativemeds.com, and give them a try and mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation. They will not charge you to tell you what you need to do, and they will also give you 20% off your first order, which is a big discount. So give them a try. And I also want to mention, I did talk to the guys from Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, VJ and Scott, and Scott is still reading the book, but he said that when I get back from my California trip, maybe we can do our interview on their Advices radio show about the book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. And so we've got one more week, guys, left on that Diary of the Natural Bodybuilder offer that I'm offering. So if you want a free copy of the book, if you order a training or diet program from me off my website, which is dadbodtoripbod.com, I have a questionnaire on there. You can just click on it, fill out the questionnaire, give me all your information, and then just order either a training program or a diet program, either one. Or if you want to do the combo, I will send you a free copy of my Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. Actually, if you guys order both, if you order the combo, the training and diet combo, I will send you two books. I will send you Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder or Bodybuilding Heroes and Legends or the MP6 Workout, whichever two books you want. I will send those out to you free because this is a great offer and it's only running until the month of May. So we got about one more week if you want to take advantage of that. All right, that is it for our opening. Here is our interview with Vic Downs, who was one of the top bodybuilders in the IFBB and the NABBA competition in the 1960s. I hope you enjoy it. Here you go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and I have a very special guest with us this week. His name is Vic Downs, and Vic competed in the IFBB at the very beginning at the Mr. Universe and Mr. World, and he also competed in the NABBA competitions. Vic, I'm glad to have you on the phone. How are you doing?
Oh, great. And it's great to be on your show. Thank you.
All right. You're calling all the way from Ontario, Canada, right?
Yep.
Well, Vic, I just did an interview with Jerry Branham. Do you know Jerry? He writes for a lot of the magazines.
No, I don't, because, you know, it's been a long while.
Yeah.
Since 1967.
Yeah. Well, Jerry used to write for Joe Weider's magazine and Iron Man. He was saying that we mentioned your name because we were talking about the 1966 Mr. Olympia contest, the one in New York, in Brooklyn.
Oh, in 1966?
Yeah, the one that Larry Scott won.
Oh, okay, yes.
And we brought your name up, and he was talking about how you got into bodybuilding kind of late. You didn't start like a teenager like a lot of guys did.
No. Do you want to know the reason why for all that?
Sure, yeah, tell us your story.
It just take a few minutes. Well, in England, I used to play soccer, professional soccer.
Okay.
And I had a full-time job, too, because it was just after the war, and there wasn't too many guys around in England then, so the young guys were taking over the soccer. And then I immigrated to Canada after I came out of the armed services, and I found out in Canada all people did was sit and watch TV all day long. I'd never done that in my life. I was always training for something.
Right.
So I joined a health club. And it happened to be Vic Tanny's. They just moved in from the USA, and they just moved into Canada. So I joined there, and then took off, and things just happened from there. And they had a guy working for him. You probably know him, Tom Sansone. He was Mr. America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While Tom was training for the Mr. Universe, they asked me if I would like to, because I used to get up early in the morning to train. They said, you know, would you mind coming in with Tom and training with him as a partner? Because there was no one else in the club. So I said, sure. And then I happened to go to New York one time, and I saw some guys digging up a road, and I said to my friends, oh, look at the size of that guy's arms, they're huge. And they turned around and said to me, yours are bigger than that. I said, what? You know, then that it wasn't until then that it hit me how big I'm getting.
Yeah. And how old were you, Vic, when you started?
When I started, I was 32.
32, okay, yeah.
When I actually started picking up the weights, yeah.
Yeah, Jerry was saying that you got into it in your 30s, so.
Yeah.
So did you serve in the war when you were in England, when you were living in England?
I was what they call the occupation of troops in Germany. I was there for 7 years.
Okay. Wow. So what got you into bodybuilding? Did you just start, just look for something to do?
Because I got involved with Tom in the training, and then Harry Schwartz, I don't know if you know of Harry Schwartz.
I've heard that name, yeah.
He's well known in that business. And I think he used to be Mr. America years ago. He's from originally from California, anyhow.
Okay.
And he was running the Vic Tannies up in Canada, and Tom, as I say, was working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they asked me to come in with Tom, and then when I was getting so big and I didn't realize, they said, "Why didn't you go into Mr. Toronto?" So I said, "Are you joking?" He said, "No." So I did, and I won.
You won it.
From then on, it just took off.
When did you move to Canada, Vic?
In 1957, February 1957.
Okay. So you won your very first show, which was the Mr. Toronto.
Yeah, that was the first one, yes.
Yeah.
And then after that, this one's a bit funny. I was working for the CBC, which is a TV station in Toronto.
Okay.
And I applied to go in the Mr. Ontario, which was the next step up from the Mr. Toronto, which I just won.
Okay.
And I found out that I was working on a shift that weekend. And I tried to change my shift and I couldn't. So I phoned in sick. And then I went on the show with the Mr. Ontario and I won. But I didn't realize that all the TV cameras were there. When I went back to work on the Monday, my supervisor said to me, "Boy, I saw you on TV. Yeah, you really looked sick." But then, after that, they kind of forgot it.
Wow. Yeah. So that was cool. The TV stations were covering the Mr. Ontario.
Yeah, the Mr. CBC. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen too much today anymore, Yeah. So I'm looking at your contest history here, and it says you won in the Mr. Canada also, right, in
1966, I think it was.
Okay.
Maybe if you got the calendar there, then you probably know better than I did.
Yeah, it says 1964, you went into the IFBB Mr. Canada and took second to Dennis Gauthier. That was 64,
this was in 64?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh,
sometimes the internet's wrong.
I only entered the Mr. Canada once. That was in 1966.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because let me check my notes that I got here. Because Harold Poole was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and because Harold gave me a ride, and it was in Quebec. He gave me a ride there and gave me a ride home.
Hmm. What was Harold doing there? Was he guest posing?
Yeah, he was a poser, yeah.
Okay. So you got to meet Harold Poole, and he took you to the contest.
Yeah, I saw Harold Poole there, yeah. And so I met two of them, Harold Poole, and of course I worked with Tom Sansone.
Yeah. So what was it like training with Tom Sansone? Let's go back to that, because that had to be pretty interesting, training with the guy who was Mr. America, Mr. Universe.
Yeah, well, he showed me a lot of exercises, that I didn't see in the magazines. And as I say, I was new to the game, and he showed me some good exercises for arms and all that stuff. So I really learned a lot from him. But by helping him to train for the Mr. Universe, I picked up a lot of knowledge from him.
Yeah. How did you guys train back then, Vic? I'm sure the gyms were pretty – they didn't have a lot of equipment back then, I'm sure, right?
Oh, no. It was mostly dumbbells and barbells that we used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in those days, yeah.
Did you train every day, or was it just like 3 days a week?
Every day. In fact, Tom used to say to me, "When you walk by my house, bang on my window, make sure I'm awake." So I used to drive by, bang on his house, and then meet him at the gym.
Right. Yeah. And how about the diet? What was the diet like back then?
Well, my diet was kind of funny, and funny enough, most of the shows when they asked me the diet, they all laughed. It was, okay, for breakfast, I would have a dozen to two dozen scrambled eggs.
Wow, a dozen to two dozen.
Now, and also, there was a guy that wrote for Iron Man in Canada, and they sent, and when he phoned them and told them, and they put it in the magazine, they said, "Please get him to check his cholesterol."
Right.
So they made arrangements for me to see the doctor.
Really?
Here, and the doctor said, "Normal." And
oh,
I've been
really?
Doing that for 2 years eating. And that was when they said, the eggs are bad for you, eggs are bad. And now they're saying they're good for you.
Yeah. Did the doctor say your cholesterol level was high?
No, he said it was normal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, talking about eggs, Chet Yorton, when I was in London, England, and I won the most muscular there, in the universe. Chet was there, and we were in this hotel having breakfast, and the waitress came. This is a bit of a joke. The waitress came over, and she said, what would you like? I said, could I have a dozen eggs, please? She said, no. I said, yeah. And then she said, Chuck, how about you? Oh, give me a dozen too, please. And then when she went to the kitchen, the chef with his big hat, she's pointing up to us. You must have said, who these two guys want 2 dozen eggs? Anyway, after we ate the eggs, she'd come back and she'd say, everything okay? Would you like anything else? I said, could I have another half a dozen, please? She said, okay. She said, how about you? And then Chet said, oh, give me another dozen. So we had two and a half dozen eggs between two of us for breakfast.
Right.
Yeah, that was funny.
So when you guys were getting ready for contests back then, I'm sure they didn't know as much about nutrition as they do now. So what kind of foods did you eat?
Okay, we're back. Well, as I say, my diet was, and I don't know how I came around that. Maybe I just did the looking up in the diet thing, and it was for breakfast usually a dozen to 2 dozen eggs, usually a dozen.
Okay.
And then for lunch, I would have a pound of cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a jug of yogurt, mm-hmm. and also a can of tuna fish.
Wow!
And then my vitamins.
Yeah.
Now, I had the identical thing for supper.
Really? Wow.
And that was my diet for 10 years.
Holy cow. So really, just all protein.
Except on weekends sometimes when I had dinner with my wife, we had mm-hmm. chicken breasts. Because I love chicken now.
Wow. That's crazy.
I never ate a potato or a piece of bread or any garbage.
Yeah, no carbohydrates at all.
For
yeah.
10 years.
For 10 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What did your physique look like back then, Vic?
Oh, I mean, well, it was always muscular then.
Muscular, huh?
Because I guess I was lucky in a way because I don't know if you know Robert Kennedy or you knew Robert.
Sure,
Kennedy.
Oh yeah.
He's dead now.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. he was the first guy that met me in England. And actually, I got a picture and a write-up that he put in his magazine of me.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Great. I got the information here somewhere.
Muscle Mag International?
No, I'm just looking at all my papers here to see what the magazine was called. Muscular Development.
Okay.
Yeah, because he started writing for Weider and then he developed on his own.
I think he wrote for Iron Man a little bit too.
Yeah, 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 Iron Man too. Yeah, yeah. He was the one that gave me a ride when I finished the Mr. Universe in England. He had a Jaguar waiting. He said, "Come on, Vic." He said, "Your plane leaves because we're heading back to the USA." We're going through London like 100 miles an hour to get my flight back. And then, funny enough, and then I competed in there, and then in the mag there, they put, this is the only guy that went in two contests in two different continents on the same day.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So was that the NAVA Universe in 66? Was that the one where Chet Yorton was in it?
Yeah, 66. Chet Yorton and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Arnold, yeah.
Arnold's there. Chet won. Arnold was second. I was third. And I won the most muscular.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about that contest. What did you think of Arnold when you saw him for the first time?
Well, he was only 18 then, and he didn't look too much. But, you know,
yeah.
No one knew him then. And he had just come from Austria.
Right.
I think that was his first contest.
Yeah, that was his
like
first contest.
Like outside Austria.
Yeah. So did people know about him, or were they talking about him at the show?
They were talking about him. Yeah, him and Columbo was with him at the time.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came together.
What did you think of him? Did you think this kid's got potential?
I never gave it much thought, you know, really, at those mm-hmm. days, you know, because it's all new to me, all this. Everyone was a stranger to me then.
That was your first Mr. Universe too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And what did you think of Chet Yorton? Do you get along good with him?
Chet, yeah. I got on okay with Chet. He's a nice guy. Because Arnold was inclined to be a bit arrogant.
I bet he was back then. But
finally, when I got to really know him, because he stayed at my house for a while when we went to Europe together, and he was quite a nice guy. He always called me Downs. He never called me Victor. Hey, Downs, come here.
Are you talking about Chet Yorton or Arnold?
No, Arnold.
Arnold, okay. So Arnold stayed at your house.
Oh, yeah. We went to Europe. He just overnight because he flew in from California, stayed there, and then we flew into Europe.
Okay. What year was that, Vic?
Oh, I don't have those dates.
Was that later in his career?
Yeah, because he was well known.
Yeah.
In fact, Now, you might know more about this than me, but when I won the... I'm jumping ahead of myself now. But yeah. When I won the most muscular Mr. Universe in Montreal, mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about that one.
Yeah, that's the one Sergio won, right?
Yeah, but you know what? I hate to say this now because you know a lot of the people were dead. But the two of the judges, I got their names here because I figure this might come up. Julian Blomart.
Yeah, I remember him.
And his brother.
John.
Well, they came up to me after the pre-judging, and they said, Vic, he said, all the judges picked you as a winner. He said, Ben, yeah, it was Ben. Ben Weeder came along and said, no, change it. And also, he said to me, but they don't even have a trophy for you. They're going to send it to you.
Wow.
Because it was a last-minute decision for Joe that... because they said to him, look, the guy's obviously the winner. They said, well, give him most muscular and I'll send him a trophy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it now.
I tried to get hold of them, but I'm afraid all these folks there are all dead. And so I hate to like bring up stuff like that, which kind of negative about someone that's dead. But Ben had it in for me a little bit because I used to do some promotion for him in the big stores in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, some kids come over and asked me about some protein of Ben's. And I told him the truth. I said, look, he gave it to me. I tried it. All I did was put on about 2 inches on my waist. I said, so I stopped taking it. I said, so, you know, make it. And on the next counter was the manager, and he phoned Ben and told Ben. And I never won a contest.
No kidding. Just because you recommend another protein powder.
Yeah. Well, not yeah, but it wasn't Ben's.
It wasn't Ben's, right?
But I was being honest with the kids. You know, I said, look, I tried it. It didn't work. I gained weight all around my waist.
Right. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
When did that happen, Vic? Was that around the 60s?
Yeah. Well, it was just before the 67 Mr. Universe in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
That's why he came over, apparently. I didn't know until after, to the Bloom Brothers and said, Boom Up Brothers, and said that, no, give it to Sergio.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah.
After that, I kind of lost heart in bodybuilding. After that, because I thought it's, you know, being new to the game, I thought it was straight. You know, if you won, you won. If you lost, you lost.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, I see you. When did you move to Canada from England?
February 1957.
Okay, 57. Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in Canada the whole time you started competing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you also went into the year you took third to Chet Yorton and Arnold at the NABBA Mr. Universe. You also went into the Mr. World, right? And the IFBB, and Sergio won that also.
I got a list of all the contests that I went in and what I did. Okay. 1966, Mr. Canada. 1966, mm-hmm. Most Muscular Mr. Universe.
Okay.
Which was with Chet Yorton.
Right.
1967, I put it down as Mr. Universe, even though he took it off me. And the Most Muscular Mr. Universe. That was in Montreal. In 1967, Mr. World. 1967 World's Best Developed Chest, World's Best Developed Legs, Professional Mr. America in 1970, and that was a problem there too, because when I won that one in New York, after they announced me as the winner, the rest of the contestants came over and said, he's from Canada, he shouldn't have been in the show, shouldn't have been in the show. And then so they turned around and said, yeah, but he's from North America, so... Yeah, so it kind of shut them up. Then in the Mr. World, I won the Most Muscular there too. And also I won the World's Best Developed Waist. Because I had great abdominals.
Yeah, that's when they gave out the body part awards, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I placed second in John F. Kennedy's World Physique Fitness Program. I placed second.
What year was that?
Oh, you know, I haven't got the year. They just sent me a big prize, an electrical bicycle, and that was it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was that a bodybuilding contest, or was that like a...
No, it was physical fitness, too.
Physical
like
fitness,
running how far you can run in a certain time and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that was part of my training. I used to run 2 miles, and I used to do two miles in about 12 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember when I was a kid and I was in school, we had the John F. Kennedy physical fitness test.
The guy that came up with that was, I think he was a colonel in the U.S. Air Force. I think his name was Cummins or Cunning. Because I met him here, and he said, oh, bodybuilders, he said, the cardiovascular systems are no good. But I said to him, but I train different. I said, I train from one exercise to the other to the other. I don't stop, and I'm huffing and puffing. And that's when I happened to meet him in Canada when he was giving the lecture, and he put me on the track, and that's when I did the 2 miles in 12 minutes. He said to me, that's I said, see, because bodybuilders train different. They don't all just lift weights, and that's it.
Right, yeah. Did you used to do running all the time in your training?
Well, not every day. Maybe twice a week.
Twice a week, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that Mr. World we were talking about, that was in the one in Brooklyn Academy of Music, right? That was the one where Sergio Leone.
You know, I couldn't tell you because I'll tell you for why. Because I went in so many. I went in the AAU. I went in York. I went IFBB. I went in the WBBG. You know,
right.
In fact, when Bob Kennedy wrote that article on me, he said, he's the only guy that doesn't believe in just going to one place. He goes to more.
You're going in all the organizations, right.
And I think that's also that brings up something else in mind. See, some of it's coming back now. It was that I did a show in New York. It was a Weider show. And after the show, Weider came up to me again and said, I hear you're going to England in NABBA to compete again. I said, yeah. I said, I'm thinking about it. And he said, well, if you do, you'll never go in one of my shows again. he said, so I thought, well, because I'm in Canada and the USA is closer, I'll forget the England one. And you know what happened?
What?
Arnold was in it. Sergio Olivier was in it. They're all in it. So
yeah.
when I met the Weiders in the next show, I said, well, what happened? You told me not to go because otherwise I couldn't compete in yours, and all these guys came, and they're still here. And he said, oh, that doesn't start till next year. But, you know, they gave me a whole lot of ball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you know what? But even Tom, I don't know exactly what happened to Tom, but Tom Sansone told me to. He said, be careful, Weider. He said he did some things to me. He said I couldn't sue him because they got too much money. I would never win anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was that happened between him and Weider, but he said he had problems with him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, because I think this is the contest we were talking about in some of my podcasts, was that Mr. Olympia that Larry Scott won in 1965 and 66. And in 66, they had the Mr. World contest. And I think you were in that against Sergio.
You know, hang on, looking at my book, it could be. I think. Let me think. The guy from England, the black guy, won it.
Well, it has Sergio.
Pardon?
Sergio's. They had Sergio as the winner here, and then Alan Keane took second, and you got third. That was in the tall class.
I don't remember.
I'm thinking that had to be before the Mr. Universe, because Chet Yorton was in. He competed that night also. He was in the Mr. America, the IFBB Mr. America. And then he went over and he won the NABBA Universe.
He won that in 66, yeah.
In 66, yeah. So it must have been right before that NABBA Universe, you know.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that 67 Mr. Universe, the one where they gave you second. I mean, did you – that looked like it had a good lineup. Rick Wayne was in it, Rock Stonewall.
Yeah.
Frank Zane. Yeah, I saw a picture of that
contest. Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Ricky Wayne was there. He was the guy that won Mr. World when I – came second.
Oh, okay. That's who you're talking about, Ricky Wayne. Okay.
Yeah, Ricky Wayne. Yeah, and Frank Zane was actually. I'm looking at the picture. Frank Zane is standing to my right. And
yeah, you beat
Sergio's
him.
Sergio's up with Joe Weider congratulating him.
Yeah. That's the picture I saw too. So Sergio got first. You got second. Frank Zane got third.
Oh,
so
did Frank get third? Oh, yeah. Christopher Ford came fourth.
And then you won the most muscular also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the one.
That was the show that they said that he made me, the judges change it. I can understand the reason, or I thought the reason afterwards. Well, one because of what I said to the kids that you got back to him. And the other one was that they just started promoting Sergio at that time. They just brought him in from Cuba. And I think they didn't want the guy to not to win a contest on the show.
Right.
So I don't know. It was politics anyhow, either way.
And that was in Canada, right? That was in Montreal.
That was in Montreal. And also in Montreal, while we're on there, after that, funny thing, after that show, the Weeders said to me, go to the American Pavilion at Expo, and there's a film crew going to meet you there. That was the next day, and they paid for me to stay over. And they took movies of the posing and doing all the things. And I never did see it, but I was in Miami about the year after, and Arnold came over to me and said, Downs, he said, I saw some movies of you. He said, you look great. I don't know who took them, where they are. I tried to find them. No one seems to go. Because you know, the Weeders are all dead, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never seen them anyhow.
But
Arnold said he saw them. He said, you look great.
Wow. Huh.
So.
And then when was that? When was the Mr. World that year, Vic? Was when Rick Wayne won. Was that before or after the Mr. Universe?
It was in 1967.
Yeah. Where was that held?
If I remember right, I think it was in New York, but it could have been Miami.
Oh, okay. So New York, maybe with all those other, with the Mr. Olympia and stuff. Was that the night Sergio won the Mr. Olympia? That was when he won his first Mr. Olympia in 67.
Oh, well, that was it then.
Yeah, okay.
He won that, and I forget who won the Mr. America. I can't remember their names. And as I say, Ricky Wayne won the Mr. World, and I came second, and that's about as far as I can go.
Yeah, let me look at the article here. Let's see. Maybe I got the results here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Don Howarth won the Mr. America.
Oh, Don Howarth. That's right.
Yeah. And then Ricky Wayne won the Mr. World, and then Sergio won the Mr. Olympia.
Funny enough, that was in 67. That was after the Montreal show.
That was after, okay.
Yeah, because the Montreal show, which was 67 too, but that was before the one in the States, the USA.
Right, okay. And then you said in 68 you went to Miami. Was that when they had the Mr. Universe there, when Arnold got beat by Frank Zane?
68? No. After 67, I finished. I had some problems in my family life. My son got killed, and
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So after that, I thought, you know, what am I doing here? Didn't do anymore.
So you went down to Miami, but obviously you weren't at your best because you had other things.
Oh, no, because of that, that was one thing. But I wasn't in that bad a shape, but not, obviously not in the right shape. There's one thing I learned from Tom Sansone, and I've always told people that my training each day, my diet never varied for 10 years. The same program, the same diet. And people say, when you go to a contest, don't you prepare for it? I said, they could call me any day of the year, any year, and I'm ready.
Hmm.
That's the way I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. What was it like competing at an older age? Did that affect you at all? Because
It's only one thing they used to laugh at, when everyone's there pumping up. Because I learned from Tom Sansone. I never forget this. He said, Vic, before you go on to the prejudge, you know, or the show, just 5 minutes before, start doing your warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's warming up all the time for like an hour before. I'm sitting in a chair, and sometimes I fall asleep. And I remember some people walking by me saying, "There, he's asleep." Because I'm not going to start warming up yet.
Right. Yeah, because I'm looking at your contest record here. In 1968, you were almost, you were about 40 years old then, right? Almost.
Yeah. I think it was 42 when I finished. In fact, the guy from New York, he did an article in the New York paper. Tom Minicello?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I remember him. From New York.
Yeah.
The last show I did was in New York, and he wrote an article about me. You know, the great Vic Downs is retiring. That was in the newspaper. They showed me the article.
And then in 1968, also, you went back to London, right, and competed in the Mr. Universe that year, the one Dennis Tenorino won.
No. I never. 1971 was the last show. I never did one after that. Dennis, I think Dennis was in the one where they complained about me being a Canadian.
Oh, okay.
He was in that show because I got a picture somewhere standing side by side with him.
Well, this was 68. Do you remember that one?
No, I never did anything in 68.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, because as I say, 67 was the last one, and I had enough, you know.
You never went back to the NABBA universe after 67 or 66?
71 was the last one.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. See, I might think I didn't write if they were IFBB or what the other one was, whether it was IFBB, AAU, York Barbell, or what it was.
Yeah.
In those days. Most of them, I think you'll find, would be IFBB.
Yeah, this contest I'm looking at now, it says Dennis Tenorino won the tall class, Jim Haislop was second, Frank Richards was third, and then you were fourth. That was the one in London.
Oh, okay, yeah.
68, okay. Yeah.
That was in 68?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That must have been the last one then.
Yeah, I think that was the last NABBA Mr. Universe you did.
Yeah, although I've done some, I did some in 70 and 71, but I don't know which ones they were with.
So in 69, you went over to Dan Lurie's organization, right? That was the Pro Mr. America. That was the one where they're complaining.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You were.
Well, that's what I say. You know, I didn't care who it was. The show was a show to me.
Yeah.
But apparently, that they were like between the Weeders and the
AAU. They were all fighting.
Against even NABBA. They were all fighting each other.
Right.
And that's why I think Weeder said to me, "If you go, you can't go in those shows anymore."
Right. So, right.
I didn't go.
Which organization did you enjoy competing in the most?
Well, I enjoyed them all.
You enjoyed them all? Okay.
Yeah. I remember one time I came back when I think I read them out to you, the one I had so many trophies that the hostess had to help me carry them on and off the plane.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah, really. Yeah. I won the best chest, best legs, most muscular
right.
in the world. Yeah. I had so many trophies I couldn't carry them all.
Well, Dan Lurie used to give out pretty big trophies, right, in his contest.
Yeah,
I remember somebody said that.
Yeah.
And then with all those body part awards, like you said, then you'd get, you know, you'd get a bunch of trophies to take home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they were big ones, too.
Yeah, that's what Boyer Cole told me.
And the problem with, see, I'm telling you this, but I got friends here that could verify all this. When I had a problem, a personal problem, family problem, and my wife and I split up, she broke all my trophies.
Oh,
no. Sold all my magazines.
Oh, no.
No, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then she phoned me up one day and said, look, you know, if you want to get them repaired, you can keep them here, like in her house while I was somewhere else. So I said, okay, I got them repaired again, and then she died, and her family from England came and took them all with them.
Really?
So I haven't got a trophy. I haven't got a magazine to myself. I'll get the pictures people send me or I see on the computer.
Oh,
that's
man.
The pictures I got there.
So why did her wife's family take all your trophies?
Well, because I was divorced. So I divorced her before she died.
Mm, okay.
And I guess they want to get their own back somehow. I don't know.
Yeah,
because I tried to go through someone else. In fact, my sister's daughter married one of my wife's family, and I tried to find out through her, you know, who had the trophies, where they.
Yeah.
But she said she no one to talk about it. She said that she can't find out who's got them or what.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah, no. So all I got is my own self now. No, I look a wreck.
Well, Vic, you sound like you're doing good, though. You sound like you're in really good health.
Oh, yeah. I feel great. I enjoy life. And as I say, I used to be a minister, and I have people. I go down to the gym and work out now, and they don't ask me about exercises anymore. They ask me about their problems. I don't mind. That's part of the business.
So you became a minister after you stopped competing, huh?
Oh, yeah. I went and got... I got, well, that was when I, after the tragedy and all that in my house, my fire, That was when I thought, well, what's life all about? You know, it isn't just working and doing this. There has to be more to life than that. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call to do ministry, and I got my Master of Divinity in the university. I was the oldest one to graduate. I was 65. And then after I went on and got my doctorate.
Oh, really? Yeah. In ministry?
Doctor of Divinity after that.
Okay.
And I've written 4 or 5 books about the Bible, yeah.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
When you say you got a call to do it, who called you to do that?
Well, they call it a call. It's like a call you get like from above that, you know,
yeah, gotcha.
You should be doing this. And
okay. So how many years did you do that then?
I've been doing that since, I graduated at 60, when I was 65, and I've been doing it ever since. Till today. In fact, I got a wedding to do next month.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, I still work. Oh, yeah, I preach in the church and still do weddings and funerals, yeah.
Yeah. So were you religious when you were younger, when you were in the bodybuilding?
You know what? I hated it. When I was in the army, they used to march us to church, and I hated it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I ever could become a minister, but I guess it takes a tragedy to change your mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it did.
So what's your training like now? Now that you're, I think you're 89.
I train every day except Sundays. I go to church, and
okay.
I train at 4 o'clock in the morning, my usual
wow.
time.
Wow, no kidding.
I train at 4, and I'm usually there for an hour and a half.
That's mm-hmm. it. What kind of workouts do you do?
Well, you wouldn't believe it. I was in there doing some warm-ups with 5 pounds, and I tore my bicep muscle.
No way, really?
with 5 pound dumbbells.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, God.
Yeah, and I think I used it in 40s and 50s, and nothing happens.
Yeah. Did you get your bicep fixed?
No, the doctor said at your age, you know, and all the operations you've had, just forget it.
So, right.
So
right.
We just let it go.
So what do you do, mostly machine stuff and just kind of lightweights?
Machines and legs and cardio, you know, it's more that, you know, it depends. And I was even like that when I was training. People used to say to me, well, how much weight do you bench press or squat? I said, I don't know. I go in every day and I try some, and if it's too light, I put some on. If it's too heavy, I take some off. And that's the way I train every day. I train how I feel that day. No, I don't keep numbers in my head.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because a lot of times when someone says, oh, I bench press 500, that's all they're going to bench press because that's all they think they can do.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What was the kind of training that put on the muscle when you first started?
First of all, I think it was my diet that first I started eating more.
Okay.
I started eating more. And the funny thing, I even tell my friends now that when I quit, I quit at the time when I hated to eat, because the last fork, I just didn't want to put it in my mouth anymore.
Right.
I was so full.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think your experience was like in bodybuilding? Did you really enjoy it? I mean, you competed at very high levels.
Yeah. Well, that was part of my family problem. See, I worked for a health club, as I say, Vic Tannis. I was a supervisor with them eventually. I used to travel around the country for them.
Oh, okay.
Canada, that was. Sometimes, I work early. I used to work out early in the morning, so I stayed there. And when you didn't finish till 12 or something, and the time I got home, sometimes I get a call from my wife said, "Oh, did you come home last night?" Like I've been home, slept, and come back, and didn't ever
right, right, right.
But you know, I love the gym. I could live there all day long.
Really? Wow,
not just the gym and the workout, but because you're friendly with the people you're talking
mm-hmm.
with. And
yeah.
At that time, I used to help them too. In fact, I think when I was in one of the Vic Tannis gyms, a kid came over to me and he said, "Oh, you got big arms." He said, "How can I get big arms like that?" So I said, I gave him the exercises to do. I said, "Try these,"
mm-hmm.
and I had to visit some other clubs. And when I came back to visit him, it may have been a East club. It may have been 2 or 3 weeks later. I saw him doing different exercises. I said, "What happened to the exercise I gave you?" "Oh," he said, "I was talking to another guy and he gave me these." I said, "This is bigger than mine?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, there you are."
There you are. Well, some of these guys that you competed against, like Arnold and Sergio and Chet Yorton and Rick Wayne, Frank Zane, Tell us your thoughts about some of those guys, because some of these guys became legendary bodybuilders.
Yeah, well, I like them. To me, it was just, to me, maybe the bodybuilding didn't sink in like it should have. If it had have, maybe I would have been a bit more serious. It didn't sink in. In fact, when I was in London, England, and won the most muscular Mr. Universe at the NABBA, Rick Ring was there. He was in the show too.
Right.
And his friends came over to him afterwards, because I was there, we were talking. And he said, Rick, he said, Downs look Negroid. And actually in the Iron Man magazine, they said, Downs look Negroid. I was so tanned.
Oh.
And he said to Ricky, you better get out in the sun. Get some
<That's> funny.
Yeah, because I stayed with Joe Gold, because Harry Swartz knew Joe very well.
Uh-huh.
I stayed down with him for a
you
couple of weeks,
and
what's the other? Got his name down here somewhere. With the good abdominals, the Polish guy.
Oh, Zabel Kwasniewski.
No. Zabo.
Yeah, Zabo.
Zabo Skowacki. Yeah. So he was there then, and we were comparing abdominals.
You stayed with Joe Gold in California.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Harry Schwartz was a friend of him, and he said, look, he's going to Mr. Universe. Let him go there and work out and get a nice tan.
Yeah.
So I stayed at Joe's, and of course, Zabo lived next door because he worked for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe gave me the key because I always liked training in the morning. I didn't want people around. I wanted to do my business and get out.
Yeah.
You know, because people there, they talk. And as I say, my training was all cardiovascular. It was go.
Yeah.
I couldn't be, it was like being rude if they were there. And I said, no, I'm too busy.
That was the original Gold's Gym in California.
Yeah, the original one. Yeah. In fact, my routine there was, this was my routine there, because I had the key and Joe gave me his bike. He said, yeah, cycle down there. He said, leave it open because Zabo will be down later, you know, to open it up. So I said, okay. And so I used to go down there in the morning, work out, have breakfast, lay on the beach, get up, get from the beach, go and have another workout, have lunch, go to the beach.
Then I
go home.
Yeah. Well, back then they didn't have any tanning lotion, right? You just had to use the real tan.
Because I think, and I don't want to brag to say, I think I was the first one that really thought about that, because in my mind I thought, who looks healthier? A big guy that's white, or the guy that's same size with a tan?
Yeah.
The tan guy, always. So
yeah.
That's why I always had it in my mind, have a nice tan for the show.
Yeah, it's funny looking back at some of those older contests, because we talk about a lot of those older contests on my podcast, and you see some guys are real tan and other guys are real white, you know?
So
they didn't use any tan.
Side by side, and don't matter how good they are, the tan guy always has a little bit extra win.
Yeah, oh yeah, they look harder. They look more defined, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to know Arnold pretty good then, because you competed against him several times.
Yeah, in fact, at one of the shows, I'm combing my hair. I think I was in my 40s. It must have been one of the last ones. I'm combing my hair, and Arnold came by and said, "Oh, Downs," he said, "oh, you see, when I get your age, I hope I get a hair like you."
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did Arnold work out at Gold's Gym back then when you were training?
No, he never did. This is a story I meant to tell you when I was talking about having the key to Joe's gym. Anyhow, I'm in there one day, and I was in there during the day, as I say, my lunchtime thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arnold came out with me, and he said, come on down, let's go across the road and watch the girls dance. They rehearse for the TV and the movies.
Uh-huh.
So we're standing there watching, because he loved the girls. So he's just standing there watching. And he said, what time are you going to work out tomorrow? I said, well, I've got the key. I said, I'll use you there. I said, around 6 or 7 o'clock. He said, oh, I want to work out with you. I said, okay. I said, if you're not there, I'll start without you. But because I know they never show up.
Right.
They never show up that early in the morning.
Right.
Yeah.
So what were they doing across the street?
Oh, they were dancing, preparing for, you know, a movie or TV. The girls, you know, doing all this in their shorts and on the...
Right.
And Arnold just goes, let's go watch the girls.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So did you ever hang out with Arnold? Did you ever
No. I never hung out with any of them, actually, except I say the time I was with Zabo at Joe's. That's the only time.
Yeah.
No, Joe because, Gold. You know, when the show was over, I flew back to Toronto and then didn't see them again till the next show.
Oh, okay.
Even though Ben did ask me if I would like to go and move to California, but I had such a good job here with Vic Tanny, so I said no.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that Vic Tanny was in Canada. That was news to me.
Well, I should tell you the story on that one. The very first show I did in New York, I can't remember what it was, I didn't know this until afterwards, that they said, and you know, they were introducing them, the bodybuilders, to go on and pose one at a time for the final show. And then they say, Vic Downs representing Vic Tanny from Scarborough, Canada. And the whole studio, it was in the big one in New York, they all booed. And I thought, gee, I hadn't even walked out the stage and they're booing me. But and then when I got back to Canada, Harry Swartz said to me, he said, no, you shouldn't have said Vic Tanny. He just went bankrupt in the States and they hated him.
Okay.
So they weren't booing me, they were booing because I represented Vic Tanny.
Right.
But I tell you, that was my first, that was New York. And welcome to New York.
Right. Yeah, those New York audiences were something else, weren't they?
Oh,
did you get to see Larry Scott when he won the Mr. Olympia that one year?
Oh, yeah. I met Larry like during the course of the show several times, yeah. I never spoke to them. They felt like they were a bit above me because they'd been in it longer than me and they knew the ropes and I'm a newcomer.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get to see Larry pose when he posed his arms and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was something to see, huh?
Yeah, he was a nice guy, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't say anything about any of them. But there's only one thing. You may know this. What's the guy that played on TV?
The big Dave Draper.
Pardon?
No.
He had a show on TV.
Oh, Lou Ferrigno.
Lou. We were in New York, and I don't know how it came about, but Lou was there too, and Arnold was there. And we got Arnold to stand behind Lou for a joke, and you couldn't see Arnold. Lou was too big.
But
I didn't know at the time because he had hearing, and I thought, you know, what's wrong with the guy? I said, he doesn't talk straight. And then afterwards I found out he had a hearing problem.
What year was that, Vic?
Oh, you know, those little things I don't know. Yeah. The only years I can remember the ones where they take pictures or I won a trophy. But the in-between stuff's kind of hard sometimes. Like when you phoned first, I couldn't remember my email address.
Was that when Lou was still a kid, when he was younger?
No. He just started then.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that may have been his first show. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. And how was Sergio? Did you get a chance to interact with Sergio at all?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. Well, because being around them like that, as I say, when I wasn't there, I didn't bother with them. But when I was there, you know, I was part of them, especially as time went on. And lots of times there was Sergio, there was me, there was Arnold, there was Colombo. We sit down and eat in the restaurant, you know, between the show times.
Yeah.
And I used to laugh at this. And they used to pull out all their pills and put them on the table. I could see that some of them were steroids.
So
I used to say, oh, what are these? Oh, they're my pumping up pills. They're my pumping up pills, he used to say.
Yeah, that's funny.
Funny. But they're a good bunch. I was surprised when Sergio, the way he ate. Okay, first of all, we're all sitting down. He orders a couple of beers, and he drinks those. And then he has some, like, ice cream or cakes. And then he orders his meal, and then he has some more beers. I thought, my gosh, how can you get be in shape like that when you eat all that junk?
And this is the day of the contest.
This is just before they go on. In fact, what Ben Weedy, not Ben, Joe used to do for Colombo, because when he's warming up, Ben used to bring in a big dish of ice cream for him to eat. Yeah, after his warm-up, so he gets some energy.
right. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
What other bodybuilders did you meet that made an impression on you?
Well, they're the only ones that I can think of. No, I can't.
How was Ricky Wayne? Did you get to talk to him at all?
Oh, Ricky, yeah. Remember, I said in London, England, about the tan. Yeah, I was with him and his friends, and that's when they said to him, Downs was blacker than you, Ricky. And he's supposed to be a black guy, but he's been in England so long that he didn't have a, his tan was going.
Right.
And even in the Iron Man magazine.
They mentioned it.
I can't get hold of that magazine because I don't know where it all went now.
Right.
They even said Downs looked Negro.
Really? Wow, that's crazy.
But that was the time I mentioned to you that I was in California.
Yeah. So how long did you compete total, Vic? It was about 10 years?
Well, from 66 to 71, that was about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the reason that you decided to stop in 1971?
Well, as I say, I had all the tragedies, and I thought, you know, what's life all about, you know?
Yeah.
What am I doing here with these guys? I mean, is this what I'm going to do all my life?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, it's time to get out.
Did you feel like bodybuilding was kind of an empty sport in a way?
Well, especially after I was deflated about the WIDA performance, you know, I think that really started it off. You know, I thought, what's the good? I can't get anywhere with them. Why am I wasting my lifetime?
Yeah. So did Ben ever treat you fairly then after that one time, or no? Was it pretty much they never gave you a fair shake after that?
I can't even remember talking to him even after that.
Really? Wow.
In fact, Harry Swartz made arrangements with Joe to do a story on my workouts. Mm-hmm. So Harry said, I'll do it for you, and I'll give it to Joe, and he's going to give you a return ticket to New York, okay, for doing the write-up. So
yeah.
I said, okay. And I went to New York, and I found out Sergio was the same. We're chasing him all over New York for our money. He never did get it.
Mm-hmm.
Never did get it.
Yeah. I've heard those stories, too, before.
Yeah. But for all the bad things they did, they took bodybuilding to where it is today.
Yeah, to a new level, yeah.
I'll always give them that. They did do that. Regardless,
absolutely.
Regardless of what they did to get there, they got it there.
Seems like a lot of people didn't trust them, though, when they were starting off, huh?
Well, Tom Sansone was my first one, but I didn't think anything of it when Tom said that because he never told me why, so I didn't know.
Yeah, it seems like, especially the NABBA organization, the people in London and stuff, they didn't trust them a lot, so it took them a while to gain some credibility.
At that time, too, not only the NABBA people, but all the others, they were fighting against each other, you know, to have all the top bodybuilders go to their shows.
Yeah, that was a different time in bodybuilding because you had the WBBG, you had the AAU, you had the NABBA, then you had the IFBB. And they all did their own thing. As I say,
I wrote them down here. That you got the AAU, I think it was the American Amateur thing.
Then Athletic Association.
York, you had IFBB, and you had WBBG.
Yeah.
There was four right off the bat, and I'm sure there were a few others.
Right. There was more that started after that, too. It's not like that now, but back then it was pretty different.
Oh, no. I think the IFBB controls most of it now, as far as I know.
Yeah, all the other ones have gone away pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with the sport at all? Do you follow it?
Not really, no.
I
haven't read a magazine. I'm too busy doing my, you know,
your ministry work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
But
well,
I can say, you know, it's the best thing that ever happened to my life.
The bodybuilding, yeah?
Yeah. Greatest thing. As I say, it started off as something I wanted to do because I like doing it, and it ended up being a profession for me. Because people always say, how did you get into it? I said, I don't know. It was a mistake. I started exercising and got so big I couldn't stop.
Yeah, right. You must have had good genetics for bodybuilding, huh?
Well, my father was tall, my brother was tall, but not so much big as... Because in one of the articles that Robert Kennedy wrote, I'm looking at it now, it says you're never too old to be great. And
right.
It said, the story of Vic Downs, IFBB Most Muscular Man by Robert Kennedy. Yeah. And he's got a picture of me when I weighed 165. I'm sitting on the sofa, skinny arms, glasses. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because back then, I mean, you had to be one of the older competitors, and they didn't have a Masters, I don't think, back then. So it was just everybody competing together. Right?
Yeah.
But it obviously didn't affect you. You had a great physique.
Yeah. Well, even today, when I see people and they say, "How old are you?" I say, "I'm 89." They say, "What? You don't look 89."
Yeah.
I said, "I feel 89."
Well, it's obviously kept you healthy all these years, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Vic. Well, thanks for joining us on my show, and I was glad to hear all your stories, and it's good to talk to you. And you had a great history in the sport of bodybuilding, so it was good to hear all your stories about your recollections in bodybuilding.
It's been great, and it's super. You're reminding me of the old days.
Yeah.
Watch me now to go to the gym and work out again.
Right. Good. I'm glad we inspired you. All right, Vic. Well, okay. Thanks again.
Take care. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks again to Vic Downs for phoning in and talking to us from his home in Canada. I really enjoyed that. Next week, we should have our interview with Porter Cottrell up on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. So you want to check that out. Porter was one of the best bodybuilders, of course, in the late 1980s and early 1990s. So I want to thank our sponsors again, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And we will talk to you guys in a week. Take care.